Hello, and welcome to the Bible teaching of Pastor Bill Bigham from the pulpit of Boger City Baptist in Lincolnton, North Carolina. You can join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., Sunday nights at 6 p.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We're located at 2201 East Main Street in beautiful Lincolnton, North Carolina. For live and archive streaming services, check us out online at bogercitybaptist.org. That's Boger, B-O-G-E-R, City, C-I-T-Y, Baptist.org, O-R-G. And now, open your hearts and minds as Pastor Bill brings the message.
God bless you, Joe and Mike, are worth coming for. I have never heard that song done better, and that is one of my all-time favorites. Well, today's gift is responsible for dividing and creating more dissension in churches than anything I know about in the last 30 or 40 years. The charismatic movement, Pentecostalism, regards the gift of tongues as one of their chief doctrines. There is no doubt about it, it was a spiritual gift in the days of the early church. But I'm going to begin this message today by telling you emphatically and boldly and without hesitation or reservation, I don't believe this gift is in existence any longer. I believe it is one of four spiritual gifts out of 21, for lack of a better word, that is extinct. Now, this particular conflict invaded the ranks of the Southern Baptist Convention back in the 70s and 80s and created quite a controversy. It is not the front burner issue, tongues, that it was 20 or 30 years ago in our denomination, but there's no question about it. It is still an issue in some churches. And today we're going to look at exactly what God's Word has to say about this gift. Keep in mind again, your pastor believes that the gift of tongues has ceased. I'll talk about that in more detail a little later on. I have talked to people who claim they have the gift of tongues. I have even heard people, quote unquote, speak in tongues. And the first thing I want to tell you right off the bat is what is going on today under the guise of tongues does not even remotely resemble what the actual gift of tongues was in the book of Acts chapter 2. Now, I have had people, charismatics and others in Pentecostalism, say to me, don't tell me I don't have the gift of tongues. I know what I have experienced. Friends, I want to tell you something. Your experiences can be deceiving. Be very wary about leaning on your experience. Did you know that Satan can actually give you an experience if you're not careful? If your experience doesn't meet the test of Scripture, if it doesn't come into the plumb line of the Word of God, then you always reject the experience in favor of Scripture. Now, here's what I have said to some people who claim they have the gift of tongues. Did you experience this because it is biblical, or did you make it biblical because you experienced it? You've got to ask yourself that question. Let me repeat the question. Did you experience it because it's biblical, in which case, that's fine. Any experience that meets the litmus test of the Word of God is wonderful. Or, on the other hand, did you make it biblical because you experienced it? I want you to join me in Acts 2, and let me ask the first question this morning at 4. What was the gift of tongues? I am putting this in the past tense. You say, Pastor, what if I believe the gift of tongues is still in operation? And what if I believe that I have the gift of tongues? We'll have to agree to disagree. That's the only thing I can tell you. That's all I can share with you is that we are on opposite sides of the biblical fence regarding this gift. You're still my brother. You're still my sister in Christ. But I'm going to do the best I can today to try in the few moments I have to show you what I have to say, or what I believe God's Word, more importantly, has to say about the gift. Now, on the day of Pentecost, by the way, we experienced Pentecost Sunday a few weeks ago on May the 23rd. Pentecost, pena is the word 50, so Pentecost is always 50 days following the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus stayed on this earth 40 days after his resurrection, and then there was a 10-day period between his ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So 40 days, resurrection to ascension, 10 days, ascension to Pentecost, Penta 50, and so Pentecost Sunday, always 49, 50 days after Easter, and so on Pentecost Sunday, God did something miraculous in Acts chapter 2. There were Jews from all over the world who came into Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. They had gathered there. In fact, there were 16 different nations represented of Jews who were not. Now listen to this, or this is going to confuse you. They were born outside of Jerusalem. They were born outside of Israel, these Jews. They were still Jews, but they didn't speak Hebrew. They came in to Jerusalem speaking their native language of whatever nation they were from. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, there is a listing, would you look please in verse number 9, of 16 different nations where these Jews came from. Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretans, Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongue. Look up in verse number 9, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. All of these were Jews, yet they didn't speak Hebrew. They spoke their own language. And so, what did God do? There were 120 people in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit of God fell on them. A rushing mighty wind came. They had tongues of fire on their heads. And God is going to use this occasion to preach the gospel to all of these Jews who were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. You know what God is going to do with these 120? They're going to preach the gospel in the language of those who had come from all of these countries. They began to preach, and Peter was one of them, along with 119 others. They are going to preach the gospel in a language they never learned before. So here's the definition of the gift of tongues. It is the God-given ability to preach the gospel in a language one had never learned before. Now, that's a miracle. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he began to preach in a tongue, in a language that he had never learned before, that was a miracle because Peter was uneducated. He had enough trouble speaking his native language of Hebrew because he was an uneducated man. He probably had the equivalent of a second grade education. And so for Peter and all of these others to stand up and instantaneously begin to preach in a tongue, a language, a dialect they had never known was miraculous. It'd be like me standing in front of you this very moment, and the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I instantly began to speak in fluent Portuguese. I don't know one word of the Portuguese language. Peter stood up, and in verses 7 and 8, would you look in Acts chapter 2, they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each one in our own," Greek word here, dialectos, dialect, language. And so you listen to this very carefully. Every time the gift of tongues is used in the New Testament, it was always a real language in operation on the earth. That's going to be very important in a moment. Second question, is the gift still in existence? And the answer, I believe, is no. Would you join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, I told you when this series began, I believe there are 4 out of 21 gifts that are no longer in operation. Tongues and the interpretation of tongues, I believe, are 2 of them. I don't believe this gift is around any longer. And one of the reasons I don't believe that it's still in existence is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where he talks about tongues in verse number 8. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Now, the issue that is debated among scholars is, when are they going to cease? No one doubts that the Word of God says they're going to. When will they cease? I believe they already have. I don't think that anyone on the earth today has the God-given, miraculous ability to stand and preach in a language they never learned before. Now, through high school and college and seminary, I have studied French, Spanish, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. I'm not fluent in any of those languages, but I know a good many words in all of those languages. That isn't a miracle. I have learned, did you hear the word, learned to speak words in all 5 of those languages. The gift of tongues, on the other hand, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and can you imagine his shock? Here he is having trouble with his own native tongue, and he gets up on the day of Pentecost and he begins to preach in a language. We don't know which language he was using, but it was one of the 16 represented here in Acts chapter 2. Out of his mouth comes words he had never learned before. And so I don't believe this gift is in existence any longer. Third question, why did the gift cease? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9 and 10 will tell you. We know in part and we prophesy in part, but look at this. When that which is perfect or complete has come, that which is in part will be done away. Would you look again at what he said in verse 8? Tongues are going to cease. And Paul, 2 verses later, tells you, when the perfect thing comes, that which is in part shall vanish away. Something is going to cause the gift of tongues, according to Paul, to go into extinction. Whatever the perfect thing is, when it comes, that which is partial is going to become obsolete. Would you listen to me? And this is where you're going to get confused if you're not careful. Tongues were used by God as partial revelation before the perfect thing came. You say, well, what's the perfect thing? Well, some people believe the perfect thing is the return of the Lord Jesus. Jesus coming back to the earth to take His bride into heaven. That's when tongues will cease. I don't think so. Because the word perfect here in verse number 10 is in the neuter gender. You say, what in the world does that mean? In the Greek language, it is neither masculine nor feminine. If this was a reference to Christ returning, it would have been in the masculine gender. Others say the perfect thing is when the church is complete and the last person who becomes a member of the church, the worldwide body of Christ, and then Christ returns and that perfect thing, the completion of the church, happens. Were that the case, the word perfect here would be in the feminine gender because the church is called the bride of Christ. This is in the neuter gender, neither male nor female. And I believe that what Paul is referring to here, the perfect thing, is the completion of the Word of God. Do you know it's complete now? Do you know that when God penned the last amen through John the Apostle in Revelation 22, the Word of God was complete? I believe God used tongues until the perfect thing came along, which is the Word of God, and the need for something like tongues ceased. In fact, let me tell you what tongues was. It was a sign gift, S-I-G-N. A sign points you in the right direction. The sign gift of tongues was a miracle. It allowed someone to stand and speak in a language they had never learned before. The sign gift of tongues pointed an unbeliever to the Lord Jesus. I want you to imagine for a moment you're standing there on the day of Pentecost and you've come from one of these 16 nations. All of a sudden you hear someone stand and they begin to preach in your language. And you know they don't know your language. But God is empowering them to preach in that language. You're going to listen to what they have to say because that's a miracle. So the sign gift of tongues authenticated the message of the gospel and the messenger who was preaching it. Now let me bring it into 2010 so you can understand this better. A very simple illustration. I want you to imagine today at Boger City Baptist Church that we had a family of Russians visit this morning. Now I, again, make no apology for telling you this gift is no longer in operation. But if it were, it would work like this. This family of Russians came into Boger City this morning and they don't speak a word of English. They don't understand English. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit would come over me standing in the pulpit and I began to speak fluent Russian. I don't know many Russian words. I know the word "nyet." "Nyet" means no. In fact, that may be the only Russian word I know is "nyet." Now, if I stood here and began preaching in fluent Russian, I assure you that would be a miracle. Now, this family of Russians, they don't understand one word of English. But here I am preaching in fluent Russian, and they hear the gospel in their own language. It's what Peter did. It's what the other 119 did. But every one of you who don't speak Russian, you're just as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. What is the pastor preaching? What does he say? Well, that's where the gift of interpretation of tongues would follow me. I would stand and preach in fluent Russian, and those four Russians who came in here, that family, they would understand every word, just as on the day of Pentecost, Jews from these 16 nations understood the gospel in their own language. But in my case, because I preached in fluent Russian, somebody else would stand up with the gift of interpretation. That is also a miracle. And they would translate my oration in Russian into good old English so that every one of you would know and understand what I preached in Russian. That is how the gift worked in the days of the early church. Now, here is where we spend the most time today on the fourth question. What is the explanation for what is going on today in charismatic and Pentecostal churches? If the gift of tongues is no longer in operation, if in fact it has gone into extinction, then what is going on today in churches where they claim to speak in tongues? Now let me stop and tell you that if you were to go into some charismatic or Pentecostal churches, during a worship service, somebody would usually stand. This goes on virtually every Sunday in many of these kind of churches. Somebody would stand and claim to speak in tongues. I don't think it's tongues. I'm going to tell you why in a moment. Then somebody will stand after that and give an interpretation in English. But what is the explanation for what is happening today in these churches? I mean, if we don't have the gift of tongues in operation today, something is going on in these churches that demands an explanation. Well, I don't think it's the real gift of tongues, because let me tell you again, the real gift of tongues in the days of the early church were legitimate languages in operation on the earth. And what is happening today when people stand in churches and quote-unquote speak in tongues, they are not legitimate languages in operation on the earth. I am quoting from a man named Dr. William Samran, who is a linguistics expert from the University of Toronto in Canada. Back in 1982, he visited over 500 churches from 1982 to 1985 before he wrote a book on tongue speaking, and he listened to hundreds of orations in church services of tongues. Now, this ought to convince you more than anything else that what is going on today in these churches is not the real gift of tongues. He tape recorded these orations in quote-unquote tongues. And here's what he said, I'm quoting. Hundreds of them he put on tape. Now, this is a man who knows virtually every language in operation on the earth. This is not only a man who knows all the languages in operation on the earth, but according to those who know him, he can listen to your native tongue from whatever nation you come from, and he can not only tell you what country you're from, but what province you're from based on your accent and on your dialect. That's how much of a genius he is, and I'm quoting when he said, not one of these utterances in tongues was a real language. Let me tell you what is happening today in these churches. Tongues in these churches is nothing more than gibberish. It is baby talk. It is an utterance, but it is not a legitimate language in operation on the earth. And so that begs the question, how can somebody stand and interpret gibberish? I can stand up here today and I can quote you John 3:16 in Greek. That can be translated because it's a legitimate language. But ladies and gentlemen, you cannot translate gibberish into any other language. It has to have a corresponding language. The word translaleo, two Greek words meaning to speak across. So if I stood up here today and I gave you a sentence in Greek, it could also be translated in English because Greek is a legitimate language. Now, let me tell you what a friend of mine did in my third year of seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, in the year 1982. He was getting his PhD in biblical languages. He could sit down and read the Old Testament fluently in the Hebrew language. I don't recommend anybody do this. I don't think what he did was ethical. I told him afterwards, but he did it anyway. He went into a charismatic church one Sunday evening to prove a point and prove the point he did, but I don't think it was God-honoring. I don't think it was right. Don't think it was the right thing to do. Here's what he did. During the worship service in this charismatic church, people would stand up and they would speak in what they thought was tongues, gibberish, baby talk. Somebody else would stand up after that and translate it, interpret it. Well, again, you cannot interpret gibberish. He stood up and he quoted the entire 23rd Psalm in Hebrew. Somebody four rows behind him stood up and began to interpret what he said. And here was the interpretation. Thus saith the Lord, I am coming quickly. I desire that my church be a holy and a pure church. I desire that you immerse yourself in my word. On and on and on the interpretation went. And my buddy stood up and he addressed the congregation. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, and here was his point. And I don't appreciate the way he proved his point. He embarrassed the church and to me was not in the will of God when he did this. But he stood up and he said, I just quoted the 23rd Psalm in Hebrew, and this man behind me stood up, and his interpretation had nothing to do with what I just quoted. Had he interpreted what I said correctly, he would have stood and said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. On, and he completed the whole 23rd Psalm. He proved his point. Don't appreciate the way he did it, but he proved his point nonetheless. You say, Pastor, if what is going on today in charismatic churches isn't really the gift of tongues, what in the world is it? Well, I think it probably falls under three different categories. I do believe that in some cases, It can be demonic in nature. Do you know that there are thousands of Mormons who claim to speak in tongues? Did you know that? And they're a cult. If you came in here today thinking Mormonism and Christians are one and the same, you better think again. They're a cult. They do not believe Jesus Christ is the unique, only begotten Son of God. And if you don't believe that, you can never go to heaven. Mormonism. Witch doctors on the mission field have been reported by our missionaries as speaking in unknown utterances or tongues. So I do think it can be demonic. Most of the time, however, I think it falls under the category of learned behavior. It is merely an exercise in psychological learned behavior. William Samron, in his recordings of all of these people who quote-unquote spoke in tongues, said they all use the same kind of sounds in their gibberish. One learns from the other, who learns from the other, who learns from the other. There is another reason why I don't believe what is going on today in these churches is the real gift of tongues. Would you listen as I quickly quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Let me hurry. God says He gives the gifts of the Holy Spirit as He sees fit. And yet there are charismatic churches who will tell you, we can teach you how to get this gift. We can teach you how to speak in tongues. No, you cannot teach anyone how to get a spiritual gift. God gives those as He sees fit. So here's what I think is happening today in many of these charismatic Pentecostal churches. They are counterfeiting the genuine gift of tongues, which was always real languages. If you want to read 1 Corinthians 14 in your leisure, you will see the same problem happened in Corinth when Paul wrote to the Corinthians. These Corinthians were actually faking in order to appear spiritual. They were faking the real gift of tongues. They were actually speaking gibberish and not real languages. It was counterfeit. Now, here's another thing that many charismatics will tell you they have today. They claim to have something called a private prayer language. They think the gift of tongues is not speaking in languages, but they believe the gift of tongues is God giving them a private prayer language just between them and God. And they go into their prayer closet, and out of their mouth doesn't come English. Out of their mouth comes gibberish that they believe is really their private, secret way of communicating with God in heaven. Now, they have a verse for it. Would you join me in Romans 8, and we'll be finished. Romans chapter 8, quickly. Pardon me for going a little over today, but I wanted to finish this and kind of clear this up for anyone who had any questions about what the Word of God has to say about it. But in Romans 8, by the way, when we pray in English, God understands that. God understands English, so I beg the question, why would God need you to have some sort of a secret prayer language between you and Him when He understands the English language? Look in Romans 8. Here's their verse, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And they run to this verse and they say, here it is, it's a private prayer language between me and God. The Holy Spirit is speaking through me. Can I quickly tell you what this means? Have you ever been so burdened? When you got on your knees, you were so encompassed with fear or discouragement, you were so burdened down with pain in your life that the only thing you could do when you prayed was just groan out to God. You didn't know how to put it into English. You didn't know what to say or how to pray. There was just a groaning within. That's what God is saying here. Every time God spoke to man in either the Old or New Testament, He used their language, the language they understood. Every time men prayed in either the Old or New Testament, they used their own dialect to talk to God. And so I believe this gift is no longer in existence. And I want you to know that the church, Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, all denominational churches cannot afford to be divided over this issue. There are more important things to be concerned about. I know fine, godly, committed men and women who are not only fellow believers, but dear friends of mine who claim they speak in tongues. I disagree. I don't think they've got the gift. But again, they're my brother and they're my sister in Christ. What have I told you before regarding the gifts? We may disagree about them, but the main thing is to keep the main thing always is telling lost people how to be saved and teaching saved people how to live. Would you bow your heads together, every head bowed? Well, again, a